as Alfred Hitchcock used to say. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, and this is Travel Itch Radio, the show that lets you enjoy the pleasures of travel without any of the problems, all from the comfort of your easy chair. This is our 10th season and 399th episode.
At Travel Itch Radio, we cover all the bases. We talk to hotel people, destinations, airlines, authors, writers, entrepreneurs, and tour operators, anyone connected to the world of travel, and not only in the USA, but around the world.
And tonight, our special guest is travel blogger Kathy Condon of Palm Springs. Welcome, Kathy, to Travel Itch Radio.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me, and greetings from very sunny Palm Springs.
Oh, that sounds good right there. You know, when I think of Palm Springs, I think of it as a playground for the rich and famous, almost like spring training for Hollywood folks. But tell us, is that image of Palm Springs accurate?
Absolutely not, believe it or not. What is fascinating is our Tourism and Convention Bureau did a survey of people, and they were under the impression that to be able to spend a vacation here in Palm Springs, you had to be very wealthy and so on. And the truth is, it's really, honestly, the exact opposite. I moved down here 8 years ago, and I couldn't believe how inexpensive you can live here. When I moved down, the only thing I found more expensive than Washington State were eggs and butter, but now that's back, you know, it's equal price. Sure, you can go into major luxury hotels and spend a lot of money if you want, but the truth is we have 80, and yes, you heard me right, 80 small boutique hotels in Palm Springs. We have the largest number for our size in the United States. And so there's all kinds of unique places to go. And the other aspect of it is there's just so many free things to do in this area. So it is a myth that it is only for the rich and the famous.
But why did movie stars come to Palm Springs in the 50s and 60s?
There's a really clear answer for that, and that's what makes this fun. When movie stars were in Hollywood, they could only travel 100 miles from Hollywood on a weekend. Guess how far Palm Springs is from Hollywood. So they could come here and play and get away, and it was kind of an unwritten rule that the Palm Springs residents, you know, left them alone. They could do whatever they wanted to do. So that is exactly why they started coming here in the first place. Of course, on the other hand, especially like if you go in San Diego and Los Angeles area, they call it the June gloom. You know, you can pretty much expect sun here because we really have sun 360 days a year. So the movie stars love that idea of being able to see the sun as well. So it wasn't just the 100 miles away.
I've been to Palm Springs several times and love two things: the benign desert climate and the wide variety of things to do. Is winter the best time to visit?
Absolutely. In fact, I would say today is a great day to be here. As I'm looking at the snow in the northwest from where I moved, coming down in like 8 to 10 inches, and they're not used to it. But I have to say is that January and February can get cooler. What we say is when you come to Palm Springs, you bring layers. And I would say the ideal time would be March and April, where you can expect really fabulous weather. March, sometimes it gets a little windy and things. But honestly, this winter, I would say you need to be here now.
Now, you mentioned that there were small boutique hotels, but are there hotels, motels, inns, and even rental homes for every travel budget?
There absolutely is. We have a lot of Airbnb in this community, and the boutique hotels, you know, run. In fact, I had the wonderful opportunity to go to one yesterday and tour it, and I was amazed. It was a 10-room boutique hotel, which is an easy walking distance from downtown. And I walked in, and it had a full kitchen and a king-size bed in a nice living space, and it was $249 a night. That's the highest rating of it. So often it's below that. But there's also, you know, Airbnb, and there's houses that people rent out here frequently. That is a real common way friends come together and rent a whole house as well. So we have lots of variety of kinds of space. You have to decide, especially with all these boutique hotels, they have tremendously different kinds of atmosphere. There's Japanese, Chinese, there's modern art. You know, so you got to decide what kind of place you're looking for before you start looking.
Oh, that just sounds so charming. Now, do visitors need a car to get around, or is there a mass transit alternative?
You know, really, you do need, well, if you want to come, Palm Springs Airport literally is 2 miles from downtown. So it's an international airport. That's what makes it even better. I live 5 minutes away from it, so I tell people when they land, text me and I'll pick them up. we are very, very fortunate that way to have the airport there. So I've forgotten exactly what was the major question there, though.
Can people walk around, or is there mass transit?
Well, so this is the issue is, Coachella Valley is actually 35 miles long, and we've had more than one friend call us up and say, okay, I'm coming to Palm Springs. Then we say to them, but what's your address? Where are you going to be staying? And they will say, for example, oh, we're staying in Indio at so-and-so. Well, Indio is 35 miles away from Palm Springs. But so Coachella Valley is composed of 9 cities, and they're all individual cities, yet the whole area of Coachella Valley has kind of gotten known as Palm Springs. So what you want to do is make sure, if you want to come to Palm Springs, where frankly most of the activity takes place, that your hotel address is Palm Springs and not Indio or La Quinta or something. And then also La Quinta, Indian Wells area, that is, if you're a golfer, that's a great place to be, but they are gated communities. And again, if you want to play golf and rent a place and stay in a gated community and happy doing that, then you wouldn't need a car once you got there. But frankly, I don't know about you, but I love exploring the areas I'm in, and I would need a car if I were going to come here.
We're talking with travel blogger Kathy Condon.
Why do you take the Midwestern accent, Kathy?
Yes, born and raised in Wisconsin.
I knew it. Okay, good ear. Mary Ellen, the next question is yours.
Oh, in my mind, Palm Springs is a collection of communities all in the same general location south of Los Angeles and Anaheim. Is that correct?
No, well, let's see. So, no, it's 120 miles from, it's 100 miles from Anaheim. So when you land in the Los Angeles airport, you have about a 2.5 hour drive. I'm going to say that in good traffic and not on a Friday night. The whole area of Palm Springs and Coachella Valley is really sitting out here in the middle of the desert by itself. There is not a whole lot around here. Idlewild, we've got the mountains, and we've got Joshua Tree nearby. But if you want to think that there's lots of other cities like Anaheim and, you know, and all those around, they are not real nearby.
Okay, so people think of Palm Springs as flat because of that desert climate. But I believe visitors can experience several climate zones as they ride the tram. Could you explain that for our listeners, Kathy?
Absolutely. So where I'm sitting right now, we are actually below sea level. And when you go up the tram, which is the largest turning tram in the world, you go up 8,000 feet. And when you get up to the 8,000 feet, like frankly, right now, we're at 81 degrees, and I think they'd probably be 30 degrees less than that. So they had a lot of snow last week, and I don't know if all the snow is gone or not. So when we want to go to an area that's all kinds of evergreen trees and looks like what you think of in, you know, northern New York or Maine or whatever, we just have to go up to Idlewild area. It's about a 45-minute drive, or you take the tram up, you know, in 10 or 15 minutes, which is getting very, very popular. It's getting to the point where you have to make, you know, tickets, you know, reserve your tickets, at, you know, and ahead of time, especially right now what we're going through. It's really limited to the number of people that they're putting on the tram. And then you go the other direction. Now, think of, I'm at sea level, and all the way around me, I'm in kind of a basin. There's mountains on the other side. And the other side takes you up to the Joshua Tree area. So, again, in an entirely different world up there. The Joshua Trees start showing up at 5,000 feet. It's interesting because I had never seen one before I moved here. But you go to Joshua Tree, and it is a incredible place. And frankly, I used to be the marketing manager, and there's 92 things to do up there as well. So that's really nearby. Takes you to get to Joshua Tree itself. It takes about 45 minutes is also. So you're exactly right. There are definitely different kinds of atmospheres here.
Well, Dan, I think you should talk next about where you've been.
Yeah, I've been on the tram, and I liked it. By the way, we should clarify for our listeners, they might think of the tram as a streetcar. That is not this. This is like a giant-sized cable car that you would see at a ski resort type thing. That's really what this is, even though it's called the tram. But we also need to mention what is underneath the tram and Palm Springs, the San Andreas Fault. I recall actually stepping on the fault and seeing the results of its movement over the years. Our buildings and bridges in Palm Springs retrofitted to protect against earthquakes? And have you experienced any yourself?
Absolutely experienced them. In fact, I had the one that I actually got afraid. It was probably about 5 months ago. It kept on going, and I was going like, okay, should I grab stuff and get out of here? And we do, and it's interesting because if they're sharp, real sharp, which sometimes happen, that means they're nearby. But if they're rolling, then it's quite a ways away. So thankfully, most of ours are rolling ones and stuff. And as far as the, yes, and you will discover in Palm Springs that there are no high buildings and stuff. The one of the casinos, I don't know how they did it. Well, but the Indians can build what they want to. They don't have to go through all our code and things. They have a huge casino, many floors, quite a ways from Palm Springs itself. But in Palm Springs, you will find new hotel just built, and it's for all the other buildings. They're no higher than two stories. So we have a lot of two-story buildings. And yes, the retrofitting is going on more and more as we speak. But I had the experience too, Dan. I went on one of the Red Jeep tours, and I literally walked way into the vault, and I actually, one of the really fabulous picture turned out of me being in the middle of the vault. I could have been a goner if it happened right there, but truthfully, it was an experience. So I know what you mean. It's kind of, I'm not worrying, and a lot of people have, you know, kits and stuff ready and things, but it's not something that you expect to happen every, you know, once a month or anything at all like that.
Well, I'm an East Coast guy, and I've been in three earthquakes, including one in Washington, D.C., that occurred when
really?
I was on the National Mall, and that was pretty scary because you don't expect an earthquake in Washington, D.C., but I was also in a small one in Anaheim that was a 3.9 that woke me up during the night, and I was in a much larger one in Los Angeles on June 28, 1992. That was the worst earthquake in the world anywhere in 1992. That was a pretty big one. So take a kid out of the East Coast, put him on the West Coast or in Washington during earthquake. It's pretty scary. Anyway, we are talking with travel blogger Kathy Condon. Mary Ellen.
Kathy, how long have you lived in Palm Springs, and how did you get into travel writing?
Okay, I moved here. I'm on 8.5 years. I just decided one day that there was nothing holding me back in Washington State, and I really wanted to see the sun more, so I moved down here. I came down here, and at that point, I still was teaching face-to-face networking, doing a lot of training in that area. I've written a couple of books on that. And what I started discovering was people were coming to Palm Springs, and they were all these really cool things to do, and they didn't know about them. They didn't know that they existed, and they didn't know how to get ready. Like, one of my more important blogs that I've written is how to go to Joshua Tree for the day. They didn't know how much water to take. They didn't know about food and all of that thing. And no matter what I looked at, I never saw a place where all that information was coming in one place. So I started the Palm Springs Insider Guide and started writing about those particular pieces. And the more I got into travel writing, the more exciting I got about it. And then all of a sudden, my Palm Springs Insider Guide has 1, 2, and 3-day road trips from Palm Springs, which very frankly covers all California, Nevada, Arizona. You know, you can get to all those places from here. And I have figured out that I am a born teacher, and I wanted to, and I've also been able to write well. So the combination of writing and sharing these tidbits that I learned really kept pointing to it. And very honestly, I've been doing it a year ago, last August I started, and everything just keeps flowing to the fact that I'm supposed to be a travel writer. So I am loving every minute of it.
Kathy, we talked about the climate, which is benign in winter but can be blistering in summer. Is it true temps can reach 120 degrees? And if so, how do you and out-of-towners handle it? I remember seeing pools everywhere.
We do have pools everywhere, and fortunately for me, I have a heated pool all winter long, so I'm one of those get-to-go all winter long, and the morning I did it, it was 60 degrees in the morning, and my pool was 89, so I was pretty happy about that. At 120 degrees, you do not go anywhere. When you get down to about 110, you go to the grocery store before 10 o'clock and you do, or after 7. You cannot go out into the heat. It's absolutely does not work in any way, shape, or form. So all you do is switch it around. So like when you're in the East Coast, when it's 20 below, 10 below, it's the same thing, but you reverse it with the heat thing. You just don't go anywhere. Because honestly, at 110, you have to have a towel to touch your steering wheel of your car. It's that hot. But the other great thing about Palm Springs is that it cools down at night. It cools down considerably. So in the summertime, after 7 o'clock, if it's 120, most of the time we can run around and have just a glorious evenings outside, and that's why you hear a lot about outside evening pool parties and cocktail parties and things. But it is pretty brutal, and I have figured out after 8 years, obviously the pandemic kept me in here this summer again. It wasn't as hard this summer to stay in because there were no activities taking place anywhere. But I have discovered that if I can get out of Palm Springs during the heat period, which is the end of June to about 1st of September, if I get out for 2 weeks, I'm fine. I can handle it. So that's when we watch all of our movies and get a little tired of TV movies, but that's kind of how we handle it.
There's a lot of history in Palm Springs too, Kathy. So could you share what you know about historic places to see as well as history museums?
Absolutely. In fact, I have the wonderful experience of having, his name was Frank Bogart, who came to Palm Springs in 1927 with a bunch of cattle, and he passed away, but his wife is still alive, who is a very good friend of mine now. So talk about history. Her home is history in itself. there is the Historical Society is really collecting the Western history. This is gigantic for Western history. The 50s and the 60s, most people hear about now, it's modernism, the architecture that takes place. But frankly, what really got this entire area established was, you know, the cattle here and so on. And then having an inn started, Nellie's Boarding House, it was called, who came here for her son's health originally. And then the boarding house kept growing and growing and growing. And between her and Frank Bogart really, with another gentleman, took lots and lots and lots of photographs of Palm Springs and had them go out on the wires to the East Coast. And that's what started drawing the people here from different, they were in the East Coast freezing, and he's showing pictures of people around the pool and things. So you transition from the Western to kind of the movie stars coming to the modernism and stuff, which is really the kind of the emphasis of the town right now.
What else is in the area that visitors should see? I'm intrigued by a place called 29 Palms.
29 Palms is one of the entrances to the Joshua Tree National Park. And I don't know how familiar you are with the fact that Joshua Tree National Park is 840 acres of kind of wilderness, but one of the entrances is there. And 29 Palms also is one of the last major stops that you take if you go to the back way to Las Vegas, which is really a fun, gorgeous way to go. You don't want to go again. Dan was 120, but it's beautiful, beautiful stuff. And the marine base, the largest marine base in the United States, is located in 29 Palms, which hardly anyone knows. It's tucked away there, and it's about, I think it's like, it's on the outskirts of 29 Palms. So 29 Palms is really built on the whole marine base and supporting that particular area.
In Beverly Hills, out-of-towners can take a tour of celebrity homes. Is that also the case in Palm Springs?
Yes. Yes. In fact, though, you'll love this. I took my 35-year-old daughter on that tour, and she wanted to know who the movie stars were. She never heard of them.
I love it.
That was a little disheartening, but what's happening now is, so the movie stars left Palm Springs and went down valley, as we call it, towards Coachella, you know, out that way in La Quinta, and bought homes there because they wanted to be behind locked gates, because the paparazzi, you know, way they had their homes here, I mean, literally the homes were built on the street and they were like totally bugging them, so they moved north. Moved south. Now they are coming here. Leo DiCaprio bought a house here. We see movie stars and things downtown. So it's kind of changing again in that particular aspect of it. But as far as movie stars, there's really a huge number of them. And frankly, I've had fun finding these places myself. And someday I decided I'm going to be giving tours of that area, because the area where the movie stars' homes were is called Old Las Palmas, and it's a beautiful area, with every single home being different than another. So it's great. And then when we have Modernism Week, which is usually the 14th, right? Well, actually, it would be starting this weekend. It's starting and it's online now, but they had double-decker buses that did tours through those homes. So you could look over the hedges and see into their yards, which was really pretty fun, you know.
We're talking with travel blogger Kathy Condon.
And Kathy, to get maximum mileage at a minimum time, do you recommend visitors take escorted tours? And is it true that there's even a San Andreas Fault tour?
Okay, there are not a whole lot of tours, surprisingly enough, in Palm Springs in this area. that's kind of a really interesting piece to this. Again, kind of why I guess I wrote the Palm Springs Insider Guide. There's a great walking tour of downtown Palm Springs put together by the Historical Society. So that's one that I know of. But the Andreas tour, I have to say, and this is kind of a big thing for me to say since I've had a wonderful life and seen a lot of things. The Red Jeep tour on the Andreas Fall is really up in my top five things that I've ever experienced in my life.
Wow.
It starts at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. You get in a Jeep and they teach you about all the plants and how the Indians lived off the land. And then they put you back on the Jeep and go down in a different entrance to this gigantic ranch that is no longer, this Jeep tour is the only one that has access to this area. And then drives you into the Andreas Fault, which, you know, we get to see, which, again, I love seeing that. Back on the Jeep, go down the road some more and go up this windy road. And it's kind of like think of a crater. And they tell you to go sit at the picnic table, and you're away from all the lights of the city. And they talk about all the stars and the galaxies and stuff up there. So it is an amazing tour, and I mean, I just absolutely loved it. So that highly, highly recommend that. And I haven't gone on the other Red Jeep tours that go into, you know, during the daytime and stuff, so I can't speak to them, but I certainly can speak highly of the one in the evening. It's called the Stargazing Tour.
Stargazing, wow. Mm-hmm. So do visitors come from all over the world, or is the tourism market mostly American?
It's fascinating. You heard me talk about 120 degrees, and people who come are from France, Germany, and England. We say, do you realize how hot it is here? And they come. We have a gigantic influx of the French and Germans and the English here. And also, we have Canadians are pretty much snowbirds here. Like my next door neighbor, you know, are from Canada. They were able to figure out how to get here. They're not sure how they're going to get home. At this point, but yes, we have people from all over the world that come here. In fact, at this boutique hotel I was at yesterday, I asked him, do you have any customers from other places in the world here on a regular basis? And he said, he grinned and he said, yes, I have this man who comes from Iceland every year for a week. And I'm going, wow. Like, really? So, yes, it's a pretty cosmopolitan area.
That's great. We're running out of time really quickly. So tell us, where can Travel Itch Radio listeners find your blogs?
All you have to do is go to, say, Palm Springs Insider Guide. You can even just put Palm Springs Insider and I pop up the top one. And it's there. And so the blog, and then go to visit Palm Springs and Photos, and you'll be able to find a whole bunch of other things to see and do here.
Okay, our guest tonight has been Palm Springs travel blogger Kathy Condon. Thank you so much for joining us on Travel Itch Radio.
It was my pleasure, and you two come and visit me, and I'll give you a tour.
It's a deal.
That sounds really good. And that's it for this edition of Travel Itch Radio. But listeners, sit down, because next week, same time, same station, same writers, same announcers, we'll have an hour-long special marking our 400th episode. Our five guests will talk about the Mount Washington Cogwheel Train, a Brooklyn pizza tour, the Winston Churchill Museum, St. Augustine on Florida's historic coast, and beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. You will not want to miss it. That's 8 o'clock next Thursday, February 18th, the 400th episode of Travel Itch Radio. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg, along with co-host Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee and our special guest tonight, Kathy Condon, saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night and stay safe.